Well, we're working through our series, Growing 101, and I hope that you are learning some new things and growing in your faith as we're working through that. Each week, I give you a homework assignment. I know that some have really loved that homework assignment. Some has like, more homework. But for you that are loving it, how many of you have been doing your homework? Good. Excellent. And so I really think that it's a way to cement in what you're hearing on Sunday. It's pretty hard to be able to grasp all that is a part of that as we're kind of walking through that pretty quickly. And as we do, trying to help make that go deeper. There's the Dive Deep podcast that we use that comes on Mondays. Some actually use that for their groups, and they use that as a discussion point, some questions. Caleb Swartz can actually send you a list of some questions if you're interested in that. Just email us. And then they kind of listen to that, use that for their discussion time. It's really good. Some are using it as their own personal kind of devotional kind of work that they would do. But all of this helps kind of cement in the concepts, the things we're talking about on Sunday. And so hopefully you're able to take advantage of that. Each week we're going through, I'm giving some kind of an opportunity to give you something as a gift, just to be able to help think about sharing our faith and being open about that, and some of them from our well-read bookstore. This week, we have a 2019 planner. It's pretty cool. I got asked for several numbers to try to figure out what section and what row and what person. And so it is going right back there. Mary Tyler is going to make sure it's out back in the bleachers this time. And so you can be able to congratulate her on getting that. We're talking about following a new master, our Lord, this morning. And that is a part of what we're going to be doing. And so what does that look like? No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, Jesus kind of gives us this particular aspect in Matthew. He's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, a pretty significant kind of life change that he's presenting to the body of Christ and to those who would be present on that mount. These kind of things go counterculture. And so he's kind of giving all these thoughts to them to make sure they would understand. But the reality is, he calls this, you know, two masters. You know, we really can't serve God and then another master as well. And whatever we let control us, that becomes our master. So whatever we let control us, that becomes our master. And so you've got to be thinking about that, because there are many things that drive us in this world. And it's easy for us to slip out of the place where we're really letting God be in that first place and then let other things start to take priority in our lives. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning. Help us to hear something that maybe we've never heard before. We ask that it would be your voice that would speak into our hearts, not mine. In Christ's name, amen. So as we're talking about that, let's see several things. Now, the word master in Scripture really could mean several things. In fact, seven different things. So the Greek word that is used at that point, I could tell you that, but you won't remember the Greek word. I don't even remember the Greek word. But the fact is, I do remember that it's seven different definitions could be applied to that. And so it could be, when it says master, it could be Lord, it could be teacher, it could be rabbi, any of those, and several others that are kind of used and not as significantly. But all of those would come down to the fact of helping us to be able to understand the word, what the word master means. Now, in our culture and in our world, master, kind of like that kind of master relationship, feels a little bit kind of out of place, because Well, for one, our culture is like everybody's equal, and in a democracy, we kind of look at it this way. Everybody has a vote. Everybody is kind of in that same position. We kind of like, in a monarchy, like, or a king or a kingdom, they kind of have a little bit, maybe a better understanding of this than what we would in the U.S., because we kind of think of these things a little differently. But if I can help us to understand that word master a little bit better, it can help us to understand how we need to relate to it and how it needs to be a part of our lives. Because the reality, we all have a master. You have a master. It doesn't matter what it is. And I'm not talking about I Dream a Genie and it's like boing, where you're going to be able to see things happen. I'm talking about the fact is that whatever drives us, whatever empowers us, whatever has power over us, that is our master. And so we have to try to understand how that looks and what that is. Now, Jesus talked about money because, and it's not all money, as Scripture says, it's the love of money that drives us. Because there's nothing wrong with money. It's what's needed. And God often used those who had wealth and riches to be able to enrich the plan of the gospel. We know some of the wealthy people in the early book of Acts, they were the ones who provided their house for those home groups that started to form and those things that happened. We know that many of them used their wealth to help support those who were going out and sharing. So Paul was able to share the gospel. He was able to go out to all kinds of places because of those who gave money and financially support him. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it's if it controls you, then it's wrong. So what we have to think is, are we in control or is it in control of us? And that's where the danger comes, when it drives us and kind of pushes us to keep going because of money, not because of the end result of what it can do. And so we try to understand this whole word master and what that is. Now, in Scripture, he tells us this: he is a master worth selling everything. He is a master worth selling. So whatever we have, if we would sell it all to follow Christ, that's exactly what was happening in Scripture. And they were willing to follow anything. And Peter said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. And of course, Jesus says, you know, if you have whatever you've left, God's going to reward you 100-fold. So, like, let me help you understand, you could never outgive God, no matter what. You can't outgive God. And a spirit of generosity, a heart of generosity, when he plants that inside of us, we find great joy in giving it away. It's just because we know God's in control of it. And I want to say that you are such a generous congregation, and I just really am very grateful for your generous hearts and your willingness to reach out and help people, your willingness to make a difference. Even in this whole thing, when we have had the privilege of going to Sunbury and setting up a satellite campus, God has used your generosity to help make that happen. And we're just grateful for the way God continues to work through each of your lives. When it comes down to disaster relief and opportunities that you have expressed ways to be able to help make a difference and reach out, you're always very willing. I share with you our mission fund that comes out of your tithes and offering. We were able to give, we sent $5,000 down to North Carolina to help them in the disaster relief so that they could be there. We were able to send $5,000 to Florida and help them through World Hope and disaster relief, providing water and helping in those immediate needs. And that's because of your regular giving. So I just want to say thank you to each of you, because God is using your lives to help make a difference. And your desire to be generous, God uses that, and he blesses the church, and he blesses those that are around. In fact, Shirley shared with me just before, if you are a chainsaw operator, I know, Alice, that's disappointing. You don't operate a chainsaw. But if you are, there's a real need in Florida. And so we have connections for that. It's really roughing it. So like it's a sleeping bag and whatever as far as this. But they need lots of help. So anybody who can do that, you can talk to Shirley. She's going to try to set up for those people who can operate a chainsaw, can go down and just start clearing the pathways of the destruction that is there. Let me say, if we really have a heart for God and a heart to serve Him, everything we do, it's worth it. It's worth it. And so that's why Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. And so that's what it's like. I think sometimes we lose sight of the great treasure because we have so many treasures around us, and we lose sight of that great treasure that's within us. But that's an incredible treasure that God has given to us, and that's why it's so important that we would keep that focused in our mind. Now, He is a master with incredible kindness, incredible kindness. When I start to see the kindness of God, how He reaches out, how He ministers to us. Scripture says, now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. So we've only begun to taste how kind God is to us, how kind He is in His way that He ministers to us and how He reaches our lives and what He does daily in helping us to be able to see who He is. He is a master who is our greatest treasure. He's our greatest treasure. And so when we start to hold on to that, realizing what an incredible gift that God has given to us, this is the greatest treasure that we could possibly have. He said, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. The purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. If we could be able to make sure we're always keeping an eye on heaven while we're living here on earth, it really shapes how we do things, how we respond to things, how we deal with things, how we give things, how everything that is a part of our lives. And so there's such an importance of making sure that our treasure is really not here. Our treasure is stored up for us. And so what are we doing ahead of time to store up our treasure in heaven? The reality is that's going to bring a whole lot bigger return than anything that we could store up here on earth. And yet we so diligently store up on earth, and we miss sight of really the greatest treasure that we could store up in heaven. Things that last forever. What are we doing about the eternal things in this world? When we share Christ with somebody and we love somebody in the name of Jesus, those are eternal things that we're investing in. And so we start having to make sure we understand where the real treasure is and the difference. Now, He's a master who gave everything for us. And so as we look at that, we see that He gave everything possible just for us. Here's what Scripture says, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. And so we understand that He gave up everything for us. That's an incredible, incredible gift. Now, He's a master whose value far outweighs everything in this world. And so we look at the creator of the universe, we look at the one who's created all things, then we realize what an incredible master He is. The Scripture says it this way. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. So this is a value system that changes. When we give our heart to Christ and we come and we're born again, our value system changes. We start to value things differently than we valued them before. We start to think more highly of things that are eternal and think less of the things that are temporary. And so when you start to think about what drives you and what masters you, we start to think about how important it is that we realize. Paul said this. Paul had achieved kind of the ultimate in education. He had the ultimate in heritage. He had the ultimate in who he was and how he performed, and yet he says, compared to knowing Christ, it's nothing. It's nothing. Now, if we can keep this kind of perspective, it'll keep us humble in all that we do, because we know that there's nothing greater than knowing Christ and that relationship with him. It's just incredible what it does. Now, he's a master with a name above all names. And he's given us the privilege of using that name. In fact, he said that we are co-heirs with him, which means everything Jesus gets, we get. I love being a co-heir with Jesus, because everything that is a part of the kingdom that he says he will get as an heir, we get as a part of that. So what an incredible thing. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen someday. That is going to happen someday. At some point, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you look at our culture, you look at our world today, whether they want to or not, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And that's a wonderful thing. So we're choosing to do that now. We're choosing to let that name be above all names. We're choosing, as believers and followers in Christ, we're choosing that today, I am giving that kind of respect and honor to the one who deserves all honor and all respect. And that is done by how we live our lives. So as we would understand, I've been awakened to a new relationship. Here's what happens when I have the Holy Spirit. When I am born again and I invite Jesus into my heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in me. This is now his dwelling place. So he now lives inside of me. There's an importance of understanding, but I am now awakened to a whole new relationship. And this is going to change me. I'm going to be different. I am no longer my own. He has a right to tell me how to live. That's the reality. I'm no longer my own. If you really, truly have given your heart to Christ and you are born again, he's living inside of you, you are no longer your own. You belong to God. And so what we have to do is say, okay, so that means he has a right to tell me how to live my life. And so I say, yes. But why? Because he knows exactly what's best for me. He knows exactly how to give me the best life possible. He knows how to have me have the healthiest life possible. And so he knows all of that, and because of that, he has a right to tell me that, because I belong to him. He belongs to me. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So this body is no longer mine. It's God who lives in me. And so when I think about that, I have to think about the fact that I am no longer my own. God is owner of me. And so that's a whole different perspective. I've been called to obey his commands. So I've been awakened to this new relationship. And so I've been called to obey his commands. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? The reality is, if we're going to call him Lord, then I need to follow his commandments. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. And so we're going to say, I hear this many times. People say this. Well, I love the Lord. I'm just not following him. And I think, you love the Lord, but you're just not following him. Now, show me in Scripture where that makes sense. Because if you love me, this is what Jesus said, you will obey my commands. That's a reality. So if you don't obey my commands, you don't love him. That's as simple as it gets. You can't get it much more simpler, because he said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commands. So that's why Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So there's got to be a reality in our lives that's going to say, I love God, I want to follow him, and I'm going to obey him because he has a right to tell me how to live my life. He knows what's right. He is my master, and I follow him as he directs. And so there's an importance of understanding. I've been called to be like the master. And so here's how it's going to be. I'm going to make sure I can do what I can do to be like him, because that's how it's going to impact others. When people see Jesus in me, they're going to say, I want that. I would like to have that in my life, because we're living like he has called us to live, like him. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. So we are to be like him. That's what he's calling us to. So, you know, when we look at our day, when we look at what we do, when we look at how we drive our vehicles. Boy, is that convicting. Okay, let's get off that one. Let's talk about how we live, how we handle ourselves in frustration, how we handle ourselves among other people. It shouldn't be atypical for Christians to be like Jesus. It should be typical. But how many times do you see people handling themselves and not acting like Jesus? And how many times do you hear people say, if that's what Christians are like, I don't want anything to do with it? Because they're not really like their teacher. They're not really following that. Hey, folks, we have a responsibility. If you want to make an impact for God, live like Jesus. That's what he's called us to do. I've been called into a new relationship with a new master. That's what it's all about. And so as I look at that, that's going to look different. And that's going to be different. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Which meant, when you didn't have Christ in your life, and you didn't have to think about how you were living your life, you just did what you wanted to do. You didn't have to give it any thought. And so, as a result, you were actually living as a slave to sin, because the enemy was directing your life. And so you were basically doing what pleased you, not what pleased God. So now he's saying, no longer do you live that life. That's not who you are anymore. You're someone new. You have a whole new direction. And so he said, you must now give yourself to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Now, giving yourself as a slave means that I'm going to just say, God owns me now. I live for him. And I will follow his commands, because he has a right to tell me how to live. And that's basically what it is. And so I'm now serving a new master. How are you going to serve this new master? And what's that going to look like in your life? And so he says, this new master served me first. I think it's important that we understand this relationship. Isn't it kind of interesting? Instead of him powering over us, he served us. He has every right to power over us. He has every right to be able to come over top. But instead, he served us. For even the Son of Man came not to be served. Came not to be served. He didn't come to be served, but to serve others. That's why he came. And so he gave his life as a ransom for many. So he came to serve. Wow. God, in the form of Christ, came to serve us. Incredible. This new master has no needs. He doesn't need anything. God is perfect, which means he doesn't need anything that we have. That's a pretty incredible thing. And so don't stand back thinking, well, I'll kind of wait because God really needs me. No, he doesn't. God doesn't need anything. Here's what scripture says, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He is not needy. He has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. So he's here to give to you, and he has no needs. Incredible thought. Like, if you could dig deep on that one, be thinking about what that means in our relationship. This new master deserves all that I can do to bring glory to him. So that's where it is. He deserves everything I can be able to give to him because of our relationship. Scripture says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So I am a new person. The old is gone. The new has come. This new master now lives in me. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the good news that he shares with us. So this new master served that I might be a servant. So that's what it looks like. It looks like we should be saying, how can I serve? How do I serve? And where has God put me? And maybe he's placed me in my community, my church, my school, my home, my family. Maybe he's placed me in those places just to be a servant. Servant students are not greater than their teacher. So if he came to serve, what do? We find that joy in serving. The student who's fully trained will become like the teacher. The Message says it this way. He quoted a proverb, can a blind man guide a blind man? Wouldn't they both end up in the ditch? An apprentice doesn't lecture the master. The point is to be careful who you follow as your teacher. Yeah. First, we have to say, I choose Jesus as my master. Would you just read that with me? I choose Jesus as my master. Yes. That's a bottom line kind of decision. And we're saying, yes, I want to make sure. I do not serve out of obligation, but out of gratefulness. Yeah, let's do that together. I do not serve out of obligation, but out of gratefulness. We don't want to guilt you into giving or serving or anything that you do, because that's the wrong motivation. We don't want you to do it out of fear. We want you to do it out of love. We want you to do it because God has done so much for you. He's done so much for me. I just want to give back to the one who's given all for me. That's where it has to be. The fact is, read this, I love because he first loved me. That's exactly where it is. You don't possess the ability to love apart from God. We can only love because God first loved us. And that's how it happens, and that's how it works through each one of us. Let's read this. I live because he lives in me. You see, I was dead before spiritually. When Jesus came in, he brought me to life. And as a result of bringing me to life, then now I live because he lives in me. And so if I no longer am following him or he's not living in me, then I'm spiritually dead. So I have a responsibility to say, how can I live for him? Let's read it together. This master supplies everything this slave needs and is not served as if he needs anything. Rather, I have been equipped to joyfully serve. So what we do here in the body of Christ, serving one another, seeing the body of Christ go forward, he gives us spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are given that we might edify the body of Christ. He also tells us that we are to go out and serve. So we do all of those things because he owns us, he directs us, and he's a master that we want to serve. If we seek the kingdom of God above all else, if we live righteously, then he will give you everything you need. Amen? He does. He promises that. And so we have to take on his voice or in his focus and understand. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us afresh and anew how we might better seek after you, how we might know that if we seek you first, your kingdom, then all these other things will be added unto us. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.